This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
A look back at the year in HPC.
And a look ahead to 2012.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for December 23rd, 2011, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison. Good
morning, Michael.
Well, here's our last podcast of 2011.
It is 20 minutes to 5 o'clock on the West Coast on the last work day before the Christmas holiday.
Yes.
And a great time to look back at the year and how we did.
Yeah, how we did. Right. There were some big stories, big trends this year. And, you know, we're going to take a look at maybe what we think is going to happen next year.
Well, let's start diving right in, Michael. We've done a bunch of podcasts this year. Let's start with the news. What was your top news story from 2011?
You know, the top news story, I think the one that actually even got the most interest from our readers was the Blue Water story. That was, of course, the NCSA's 10 petaflop system that IBM was supposed to build this year. And actually, it got moved into next year. And IBM backed out this summer. They terminated the contract and left.
That was part one of the story. That was kind of the prequel, is IBM kind of walked away on it.
They walked away, and it was sort of a big sort of semi-scandal in the HPC community. It's never really happened like that before, at least in the U.S. And, you know, NCSA was perturbed, needless to say. And then they quickly looked for a replacement for that. And
They attracted several bidders, trying to put together a bid for it.
Right. I think they had four bidders, and they chose Cray. Cray is going to build them the new Blue Water system with the same name, just different hardware, different company. And they're going to try and meet the contract date as well, which is, I think, fall 2012. With a different system. The Blue Water system was actually a Power 7 system. Blue Water's Part 2 is going to be an XE6, basically a CPU, an Opteron CPU with the GPU kickers on it, so it'll be a GPU-CPU computer.
Definitely something we've been watching throughout the year. I mean, I had Pete and Garrow from Cray on my Crossfire panel at Supercomputing. I was just at NCSA a week and a half ago and got to tour the facility, saw the room where they're going to be putting Blue Water system in. So a huge story. Now, IBM, it's not like they had an awful year. They had a lot of fun stuff going on as well.
Yeah, I mean, the Blue Water system was a Power 7 system, or was going to be a Power 7 system, and the other Power 7 system that made a lot of news last year was IBM Watson, of course.
Yeah.
That was definitely a big feel-good story for IBM. I mean, they got a lot of mileage out of that after the system won in Jeopardy back in February.
Yep. And it beat me at Jeopardy at Supercomputing, too. You got to go upstairs and try your hand against it.
It beat a lot of people in Jeopardy last year. Not everybody, though. It lost a few matches. But, yeah, that was a very impressive machine, very impressive technology. Same hardware that Blue Water is going to be, but different
software, of course.
And, yeah, that was a big big win for IBM last year. But Blue Waters was just mostly an embarrassment, unfortunately, for the company. So that was sort of my big story for the year. What was yours?
My big story on the year, I'm going to go with the Fujitsu K computer. Going back to mid-year, this is kind of a big surprise when it first popped out in the top 500. And coming on the heels of the earthquake and tsunami and nuclear problems going on in Japan, to come out of that in June and announce that Fujitsu had delivered on the K supercomputer with its very impressive benchmarks up top, and then hold the number one position for the end of the year. I thought the K computer was one of the best feel-good stories I've seen.
Yeah, that was a great story. They had eight petaflops in the middle of the year, and then they got to 10 petaflops after they finished it. And in fact, that was a story that had some resonance with Blue Waters, because remember, Fujitsu was in there with NEC and Hitachi originally on that system, and they backed out and left Fujitsu as the lone vendor. and they did it all on their own and basically on time.
Fujitsu renegotiated a little bit, came back and said they could deliver it, and then they did deliver it, and as you were just saying, on time and hit the benchmarks and gave us our first 10 petaflop system at the end of the year.
Yeah, so yeah, sometimes out of those things comes opportunity. So yeah, that was a great story this year and a great win for Fujitsu and Japan and Ryken. So and that'll probably hold the 10 spots for a while, or the top spot for a while, but we know there's going to be a lot more multi-petaflop systems in the 10 petaflop range and above coming in next year, so they're not going to hold it forever.
So those were some of the individual stories or multiple stories, but kind of pinpoint systems. Why don't we go over to industry trends from the year?
So trends. So I think that the trend that I was thinking about most of the year that I think I kept coming back to was China again. I mean, part of that was GPU computing. They were so heavily into it, and those sort of have been going together. But they've heavily invested in heterogeneous computing and managed to get a lot of top systems. I think they have two in the top 10, and they've really pushed hard at HPC. They have 74 systems on the top 500 now, which is I think twice as many as they had just a year and a half ago. So they've been coming on very strong. And
you're just back from China. You were there for NVIDIA's GPU technology conference.
Right. And there was a lot of excitement there. There were a lot of people that came to that conference. I couldn't believe it. You know, it's a GPU conference, but I think there was 1,500 people there. A lot of the Chinese came with their developer stories, very interesting work they're doing, not on just the big machines, but on smaller machines as well. You know, I covered BGI, the Genomics Institute there. They're doing a lot of interesting work with GPUs and regular computing as well. They're, you know, China is pushing ahead. I see them in the news more and more. It seems like since the beginning of the year, there's been a steady uptick of HPC news about China, in not just at the top end anymore either.
Well, and, you know, you're talking about GPUs. I think when you went to the top 500 list at supercomputing this year, of course, the entire top 10, 1 through 10, the rankings remained unchanged. But the biggest most interesting new system to me was the Sunway system that was all Chinese technology, all right, done within China. And that clocked in around somewhere in the mid-teens, 14 or so.
Right. That was a petaflop peak system. Not sure how it got ranked, but yeah, that was their indigenous computer, right? And they came up with that late in the year. And there's going to be more of those. I mean, that was just one of the processors they're working on. They've got the other two processors. I think we're going to see more domestically produced computers out of China probably next year. So yeah, that was another big development. They're starting to develop their own industry in HPC and building their own computers. And they've got a lot of system vendors out there. I mean, I think I counted four to six system vendors that are heavily into HPC there. So yeah,
that's great. Good pick for a trend from the year.
So what was your big trend for 2011?
You know, looking back at how things developed in 2011, I think one of the most important things that happened is the maturation of the Lustre community. If you go back to the end of 2010, there were a lot of question marks around Lustre for HPC that had to do with Oracle's acquisition of Sun and what the questions around where was the Lustre roadmap going to go. And if you look at how things have developed over this year, that's really solidified a great deal.
Yeah, I agree. It really has consolidated, and a few key companies and organizations have done that. I know you've talked about them in the past.
Well, yeah. Most importantly is how the community has rallied around it through consortiums like OpenSFS or right, EOFS in Europe, and then you get things like the Lustre user groups that have gone a long way. WAM Cloud, of course, providing support for support and contributions to the Lustre tree, and then multi-vendor support across all of these high-performance storage vendors in terms of providing an ecosystem where a company can believe in a supported Lustre for high-performance computing.
Right. In retrospect, it looks like, of course, that would have happened because there were too many companies with too big a stake in Lustre to let that slide away. It's not like somebody who could invent a new open source file system, although there are other open source file systems, but there was too much of an investment by companies like Cray and DDN and others that I think there was just too much momentum behind that, and then something was going to happen, and people stepped up, and some organizations and consortiums, like you said, formed around and coalesced.
Now, Lustre's in a much stronger place now than it was a year ago. That's my most important trend from 2011.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Yeah, I agree with that completely. So
all right, let's take one more topic. We're wrapping up 2011. Let's try to look ahead to 2012. We'll get out our crystal balls here. What's going to be the most important thing next year?
I think sort of a continuation of what we've seen over this year, in fact, the last 2 years, and that's heterogeneous computing, which has been enabled by the rise of accelerators, GPUs specifically, but now we're seeing a little more diversity because we're going to see Intel Mike, their many-core coprocessor, come out late next year. In some fashion. But yeah, I think more and more computing, more and more high-performance computing is going to be accelerator-based. It's almost going to be a given that there's going to be some accelerator on the majority of systems, I think, one way or another, especially with Intel in the game now.
Yeah, the research we've done has really shown accelerated computing taking off. Obviously, NVIDIA's been in the catbird seat for the time being. Right. Most of the testing that's going on is with the Tesla GPUs. Intel's going to come to the market very strongly with Knight's Corner, but as you pointed out, that's really toward the end of the year. So yeah, I think we are looking at a heterogeneous future. It might give rise to a supportable need for new architectures that are really focused on high-performance computing, new supercomputing architectures. I think we could see heterogeneous computing play into that, but absolutely a huge trend to keep watching next year.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's mainstream now. It's going to become – or it's semi-mainstream now. It's going to become mainstream next year with a lot of systems having accelerators. So, yeah. So how about your top trend for next year? What do you think it's going to be?
Well, since you took heterogeneous computing on the compute side, I'll go with an easy one, and I'll stay on the data side. And I'll say that big data really is going to be an important trend, not just in terms of the technologies, because I think a lot of what we'll see in terms of high-performance computing is a repackaging or remarketing of some of the technologies we've already got. But with the number of enterprises and organizations that are coping or grappling with big data problems, we could really see an expansion of the market for types of end users who consider themselves to be customers of high-performance computing technologies as a result.
Right. I agree with that. I think this is one of those moments in history where high-performance computing is going to sort of penetrate these other markets. I think the vendors we cover are looking at that very opportunistically and thinking the same thing. The thing I still wonder about is how it's going to affect, you know, the, sort of this technical scientific computing side of it. We're starting to see some of that in systems like Gordon that are built for data-intensive computing. But I wonder how fast it will be adopted across the board. I think we'll see some of it, certainly. But since there are obviously a lot of data-intensive applications out there, but it's a little bit different, I think, in the HPC community, even though the technology basically was formed here. A lot of the technology was formed here.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so big data, you know, people are still going to talk about it. I think one of the most important things that people are going to have to get their heads around is that big is a relative term here. And we talked about this a little bit before, but it's like the big in big data is like the high in high performance computing.
Exactly.
It's not an absolute number of gigabytes or IOPS or FLOPS that we're talking about here, but it's relative to the infrastructure that you had before. How fast is data being created or ingested or managed?
Right.
You know, you're dealing with something bigger than you've dealt with before, and that's what's going to drive a lot of this technology adoption.
Right, right. It's the analytics side that I think is so interesting and so valuable to the community and to the the enterprise in general, and that's the heart of it. And that's not necessarily big, and in a sense, you're right, that's sort of a misnomer, just in the sense that high and high performance is a misnomer as well.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, it's not, I mean, it's a relative term, and we've got our own research that's in flight on this right now. We'll be looking forward to publishing some results on that in 2012.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, I think that's a good pick. I you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a big data story right now. So
I haven't tried it with the cat, but there is a lot of interest going on it right now.
Undoubtedly.
Well, Michael, I enjoyed doing another year of podcasts with you. We'll take next week off and come back in January. And to you and to our listeners, wish you a very happy and safe holiday season.
Definitely. Happy holidays to everyone out there. And like Addison said, we'll be back first week in January. Until then.
Thanks a lot, Michael, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.